Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
It's very interesting. I find myself in a very interesting position because a couple nights ago, I had a couple encounters with God, one of them being that I heard God tell me that I'm going to require more of you this year, not less, more. And I think that's a word to the church, too, that he's going to require more of us. And when we think of evangelizing and sharing Christ with other people, we often think of sharing it with the unsaved, you know, but I really believe that the church needs to hear the truth, and that's one of the things that God had put on my heart in requiring more is speaking the truth, speaking it in love, whether it's a word of correction or a word of encouragement. And this message today is He's a Good, Good Father. But I want to begin this by telling you that there are going to be times in your life, if you serve God with all of your heart, that He's going to require you to say some uncomfortable things, tell the truth when the truth is uncomfortable. He's going to require you to do some things. He's going to ask you to do some things, go some places, maybe apologize and say things that are going to be uncomfortable to you, but he does it in order to get people healed and set free. And a doctor tells you the problem that you have, not to make you sad, not to get you down or depressed, but because he cares about you. He doesn't hate you. He cares about you. The same thing is true with parents. You tell your children the truth, not because you hate them, but because you, in fact, love them. And the same thing is with a pastor, and the same thing is with a friend. So I want to begin this message with giving you a scripture that's going to be the prescripture for this is Proverbs 27:6 says, "For faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." You don't need me to tell you a lie. You need me to tell you the truth. You need Pastor Ken and I to share the truth with you and not a lie. And here's what God has been speaking to me, and I've been sharing this with a lot of people, and here's what he said to me verbatim. "Some of my people have been praying, but they have not been obeying." They've been praying, and I've been praying, but not obeying, and this will never produce results of any kind. My disobedience will, in fact, cancel out my ability to receive the blessings and the goodness of God. I said what I said. I said what I said. I'm going to say it again. Some of my people have been praying, but they have not been obeying. It will never produce results. My disobedience will cancel out my ability to receive blessings and the goodness of God. That is the word of the Lord. God is who he says he is, and he does what he says he will do. Do we do what he says for us to do? He does what he says he will do. God does what he says. Do we do what he says? And all of God's promises are available to us through the works of the cross, including salvation, healing, deliverance, blessings multiplied, heaven, and many more. But these are gifts that God gives us. However, they all, every one of them must be received through obedience to God's commands. You can't pray them in. You can't hope them in, will them in, wish them in. They must be received through obedience to God's commands. Here's why. God cannot and will not bless your disobedience. If I do what is wrong, God is not going to send me a blessing for that. That is disobedience. We choose, the Bible says, blessings or cursings. I said this the other day. It is appointed unto man once to die, but you can change your appointment because you choose death. You can jump off a bridge. You can damage your health because we get to choose. God has given us all a free will. And when we push away God, we're pushing away his blessings. When we're pushing through and saying, "I won't obey," what we're doing is pushing away the blessings God has prepared for us, again, through the works of the cross. But I want to tell you that he is a good, good father. And I'm going to give you a couple attributes of the father because this is sort of a word of correction to the church. God doesn't want better for you. God wants the best for you. God is not a good father, in fact. He is not a good father. Get that out of your head. He is a good, good father. He is not even just a better father than your father. He's the best father. And we need to understand that he wants a relationship with us. I wasn't going to share this part, but Pastor Ken asked me to share this in the office. He said, I think you should. I had an encounter with God the other day as I was praying, and I felt like God saying, I'm hurt, I'm disappointed, I'm hurt, because what you're doing, you're trying so hard to make heaven. You're trying so hard to do everything that I've asked you to do. You're trying so hard to obey me. You are afraid of me. You have become afraid of me. And doing is not the answer. Obedience is a key to blessing, but it is not the answer. He desires relationship with me. And it separates us. You know, Pastor Ken pointed this out to me. If you are afraid of your father, take your earthly father, it prohibits intimacy. You're not going to be intimate with him. If you're afraid your father's going to beat you, if you're afraid he's going to make you sick, say, if you don't do this, he's going to make you sick, Frida. If you don't obey God and make every service, he's going to make you sick, or something bad's going to happen to you. You cannot live terrified of your good, good father. He's not like that. He's like, I'm not like that. You're going to get in heaven. It's already a done deal by the blood. And I know that in my head. I know that. I teach that. I preach that. You know what? You don't get to heaven by sitting on a pew or by doing things. We get by what he done for us and our behalf. But we can fall and get into that trap of trying to be so good and so obedient. But and then there's those who are just sloppy, live a sloppy life. We can't do that either. We should want to obey our Father. But God does not bless disobedience, but he forgives disobedience. That's the part I was forgetting, that God was reminding me, I don't bless it, but I can forgive it. I can forgive it if you fall short, if you do something, if you miss the mark. You know, we have to understand that we are a blessed people. And here's the thing. Do I realize that so many of the blessings that we receive from God, we think they're because of his mercy. Why was I blessed anyway, in spite of what I do? It's because of his mercy. And so you think, well, man, that's great. It's because of the cross. It's because of his mercy. But I want you to understand that by continually disobeying God, by continually just taking him for granted, not loving him, not desiring relationship, that's called rejecting the mercy of God. When we don't want to obey him any longer, when our conscience is cold to the things of God, that's rejecting the mercy of God. Yes, he's been merciful to us. Yes, we have to acknowledge it. You know, that's just the way that it is. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 is so powerful and so beautiful. Here's what it says. It is the Lord's mercies that you and I, are not consumed, that we're not just wiped off the planet, because his compassions, they fail not. And new every morning his mercies are. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. His mercies are available. What does it mean, God's mercy? Well, if God's mercies are new every morning, then I can count on God's mercies. I'm going to be okay. No, his mercies are available to us, and they're new every morning. But any gift from God must be received, again, through accepting the mercy of God and accepting him. And we have to understand that God is serious about the things he asks us to do. He's serious. When he says, thou shalt not, we should not. When he says, thou shalt, we should do that. We should make it a point. Because here's the thing. God is a good God. He's a faithful God. He's a good father. He overlooks some things. He forgives sin and things. But a good, good father, one attribute of a good, good father is that he disciplines, which comes from the root word disciple. We should allow ourselves to be discipled. We should allow ourselves to be disciplined by our good, good Father. And by the way, I would rather be disciplined by a good, good Father, our Father God, than leave myself to the world. And I can tell you the discipline of the world is harsh. The discipline of the enemy is harsh. I want to know that my good Father disciplines me. Now, Frida's going to remember this when I tell this story because she was there with me in Dallas when T.D. Jakes, we were there at Woman Thou Art Loose together. And the crowd was beginning to gather, and it's most primarily women. They had men, male workers, but it was primarily women. And there were thousands of us. And as the service was beginning, one of the staff got up and said, "It is time to take your seats. We're about to begin." 2,000 women are together. They're, "How are you doing? How are you doing? Hey, come over here. Hug your sister. Come over here." And this is, you know, and so T.D. Jakes steps up himself to the microphone. He is the authority of the house. And here's what he said. He said, "Girls, daughters, get in your seat right now." He said, "Find a seat now." He said, "If you don't want to be ushered out of here by one of our guys, you take a seat now and you be quiet." And it just seemed hard. Let me tell you something. After he did that, everybody was in their seats. You couldn't hear a pin drop. And he took the microphone and he said, "It has become apparent to me that some of you did not have godly fathers. You did not have a father who took his rightful place and authority. And authority will keep you safe and protected. And God does things decently in order." And he said, "Here in this house, I'm your father today. You're my daughter and I'm your father." I could have wept. I admired him and respected him so much for that. A good, good father will discipline us. It may not be comfortable, but he will discipline us and do what a father does. And any child that is disciplined by a good father, a good, good father feels safe. They feel protected. They know where they're supposed to be and what they're supposed to be doing. And they know they've got a covering too. They know that he's also the same person that hands out the blessings. Because what would have happened had we just everybody continued talking, continued, is we would have missed a blessing. We were about to receive worship and a blessing. We would have been cut out of the blessing because we were disobedient. But the father of the house took the place of our heavenly father and stood up and did what was right. And lots of times, we don't want to do the uncomfortable things. We don't want to. There was something recently that I was called to speak at a place, and I didn't want to do that because it was uncomfortable to me. We get out of our comfortable zones, but God is going to require us to do some uncomfortable things in the days ahead and to speak the truth because the truth will set you free. So I want to talk about covenant and relationship and obedience to God for just a couple minutes. I mean a couple. If we are struggling if with sin, temptation, relationships, finances, if let's say it like this. I'll do it with me. Let's personalize it. If I am struggling in any area with sin, with temptation, with relationship, with finances, I can almost 100% guarantee you that I am disobedient to God in some area of my life. In some area, I have not done what God has asked me to do, or I have done something that he said thou shalt not do, because these things are not in order, because God is the answer. He is not the problem. He is not your problem. If you're in trouble, if you're struggling, it is you that is the problem. God is the answer. He's not the problem. He is the solution to all my problems. He is the answer to all of my questions. And I want to tell you something about a good father. He's faithful 100% of the time. Do you know that Pastor Ken and I had a father that we never, did you ever worry that Dad wasn't coming home at night? Did you ever think that he would divorce our mom? Never, never. It was, he made it clear. He made it clear that that was not going to happen. If every father did that in every home, if every mother said, "I will not leave you, I'm not going." Why do you think there's a verse in the Bible that says, "Can a mother forget her baby?" Emmy, you work with DCFS. Do they turn their backs on their kids? Do they forget them? You know what? It happens. He said, "But I won't forget you. Your good, good father will not be there." And you know, I think about that so much. He's a covenant relationship we're in. Remember when God walked through the fire, walk through the fire, and he didn't used to. You would too walk through, and you would make a vow. And like if I was going to be in covenant with Frida, we would walk through the sacrifice together, and we would. And what it symbolized is, if either one of us breaks that covenant, death is the price you pay. But when God made a covenant with us, he walked through the fire by himself. He didn't have anybody else walk through the fire, because here's what he was saying. If I break this covenant, I will die. If anything goes wrong, it's not God, it's me. It's not a covenant, is not a contract. A contract, we talked about that last Monday night, it's when you buy a car, you have a stack of papers you got to sign. Like I said, Dave and I are in the dealer all day long, several days. I hate going to the dealer. I hate going to the title company to transfer a house or to refi, because it's a process all day, because it's a contract. If you do this, then I will do this. If you don't, I will repossess your car. If you don't, I will come for you. But in a marriage, it is a covenant contract. You're not supposed to break it. Not supposed to. And the same thing with God. It's not a 50-50 relationship. It's 100%, 100% relationship. All God has belongs to you and I. If you could only understand that. If we could only understand the blessings of God all belong to us. It's ours because we're his children. We're his heirs in the kingdom. But likewise, if I agree to the covenant relationship, everything I have belongs to God. My life belongs to God. My time belongs to God. My finances belong to God. I never have understood why people said they can't forgive when God forgave you of everything. I've never understood why people said I won't tithe when God has provided everything for us. I've never understood why people say I'm just going to leave God when God has never one time left us. We have to be willing to give all, because my all will never compare to what his all was. And when we're called to do uncomfortable things for God, by the way, and we're called to speak uncomfortable things, can I tell you what uncomfortable looks like? The cross. If you think that God has asked you to tell the truth to somebody or forgive somebody, and it seems uncomfortable to you, not fair to you, maybe. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, well, it's not fair what God has asked of me. Was that fair? No. It will never be as uncomfortable as the cross. So think about this. I think about, when I think of all I have belongs to God, do you know who in the Bible I think about? Abraham. Immediately I think about Abraham. God required something of him, but he didn't carry through with it. God pulled back. But let me tell you, Abraham had to be willing to give Isaac. And once he was willing to walk up Mount Moriah, which geographically is not far from Calvary, once he was willing to walk up that hill and take his son, even though God told the angel, pull back, don't take your son's life, that meant God had to be willing to give his only son. Only God didn't pull back that time. Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. He didn't stop. He went all the way to Calvary. There's a song that says, all the way to Calvary, he went for me, he went for me, he went for me, all the way to Calvary to set me free. He did. Isaac couldn't be a sacrifice. He could not be a sacrifice. The goats, the blood, the rams could not be a sacrifice. Only one. Only one. Is he worthy of our obedience? Yes, he is. So this being the month of January is a month when we should make a new commitment, make a fresh commitment to God, to obey, to do what he has told us to do what is right, to do what is righteous, to write it down, to get ready. We don't know what this year is going to bring. You don't know what you're going to face. You do not know, but I can tell you this, he brought you through. Since 2020 and since you were born, he has brought you through everything and proven himself to be faithful. What on earth would make me think he's not going to be faithful? So why shouldn't I? Why shouldn't I come into God's house? It's a couple hours a week. Really? I won't give God a few hours on a Sunday and a Monday. I won't read God's word. I will read everything else. I will read posts on Facebook. I will read signs. I will read the news. I will listen to the news, but I won't read and hear God's word. What is wrong with me? This is not right. This should not be. And prayer. I will talk to everybody about my problem, but I do not talk to God. What is wrong with that? And yet I understand that God has handled all of my problems up until now. So I need to put down the baggage and I need to begin to serve God with all faithfulness, no matter what I face, even if it's like Job, no matter what, I need to stop playing games with God. We need to stop playing and we need to trust him and obey him no matter what. So here's what my plan is for the year. I've outlined a plan for this year. So if you want to go with the plan, you can sign on for the plan too. That's a good thing. Here's my plan. Trust and obey God. And I have this plan. If trouble comes, the first place I go is Jesus. I do what Job did. This is the plan. If I find myself sick or in trouble, I throw myself to the ground here at the altar in the presence, and I worship him. I came here with nothing, and God has been good, just like Job. If I go through hard times, I will worship from the ground up, not up from the ground, from the ground up. Back down again. If I experience great blessing, suppose Pam wins the lottery, here's the plan. I will thank God for his goodness and his provision that he's already provided. I will honor him with the tithes and offering, and I will bless and distribute as a paymaster of God. If I should lose someone to death, I will thank God for the life and the gift of the person that I love. I will not blame God nor speak out against God. I will praise God. If I should become sick, I will immediately receive communion and honor him for the cross and for the stripes upon his back. And I will trust God for my healing and the healing of those who are sick. If someone should decide, I don't want to be your friend anymore, I cannot stand you, I will accept that as they have free choice. But my choice is to pray for them and trust God that you are a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Amen. My plan is to honor God. If I'm unsure about something and I have questions, I will ask the Holy Spirit to help me. I will honor him and I will respond to his answer. All year long, I'm going to sing four songs. I have decided to follow Jesus. All debts canceled. I've got a promise. Everything's going to be all right. And when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, I'll be there. That's my plan for the year, in case anyone's interested. And I'm going to have a good year. It's going to be a very good year. Let's have some positivity around here. Let's have some trust and some faith in God. If you believe and you speak it out, how you begin your year, as I said before last week, you were in the most important service ever last week. How you begin the year sets the tone for how the year is going to go. The first words out of my mouth in a crisis situation, I've always said this, set the tone for how that crisis is going to come. If something happens and my house is on fire and I'm like, this is awful, this is God's fault, this, where was God? Well, it's not going to go well after that. If I say, praise the Lord, I'm safe, I'm breathing, I'm alive, God's got more where that came from, then guess what? My year is going to go better. So I want to purpose to help other people. I want the words in my mouth to please God. I know that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And having said that, since my year is going to go so good and I'm going to be so blessed, I'm making another decision to bless other people. In fact, I didn't wait until the year began. I began to bless people because God said, I want you to do this. I want you to do that. And you know what? You can't outgive God. You can't outbless God because he is a good, good paymaster. So when someone's broken, here's another thing that we need to purpose in our heart. Stop the judging. Stop the judging. Stop the criticizing. Christ is greater than the critics anyway. But I want to tell you, when someone is broken and hurting, stop trying to figure out why they're broken, why they did it, what they did, where they went. Are they a sinner? For goodness sakes, just throw them the lifeline. Just throw them. Give them the word. Give them the lifeline. Pretend that you're the person. When you come upon a situation and Frida gets in some kind of trouble over here, I could sit here and I could go, she's done something wrong because things aren't right in her life. And I just know that she's done something wrong. She hasn't done something. And so I feel like I got to go and correct her. That's not your job. You let the Holy Spirit do the convicting. The Holy Spirit can correct. And your job, yes, you can speak the truth when the questions are asked. But your job for a person in pain is to do be the good Samaritan to them and start bandaging them up and start getting them to the help that they need. By the grace of God, that could be you. That could be you. So we want to be a sacrifice to the Lord, a living offering. And, you know, I feel like that there's something that's missing in the body of Christ. Of course, there's someone, a lot of times the Holy Spirit, but here's the thing. I think we need to be more real. I think we need to be more transparent. I don't think we need to act like we have it all together, like we're all that and then some, like we're so super spiritual that we never have a problem, that we don't get depressed, we don't get sad, we don't have struggles, we don't have financial. We need to be genuine and real, because people don't need that super spiritual, oh, you're religious, so I can't talk to you. You know, part of being a false prophet is saying one thing and doing another. And we see that too often. I don't need big, and I don't need super spiritual. I need help, right? Right? And people want what's real. They're drawn to what is sincere and genuine and real. You know, Pastor Ken, a lot of times, and we're going to ask our you know, if you can come, and we're going to play. We're going to worship. We want to worship to close this out. But I want to tell you that Pastor Ken talks about the plastic fruit, okay? We've talked about plastic fruit before. You see this bowl of plastic fruit, and it looks so pretty, and it looks so nice. But here's what the Lord shared with me the other night. I don't need plastic fruit. But real fruit, Pam, he said, has bruises on it. A lot of times you pick up a banana, and it's got bruises on it. But that's the sweetest banana you're ever going to eat. That's the one you make the banana bread out of, the yummy banana bread out of. An apple, you pick it up, and it's got some bruises on it. But it makes the best apple pie you've ever had in your entire life, because the sweetness comes out through the bruising. And that's what the Lord was showing me. He said, I just need you to be real. Even though you've been bruised, even though you've been hurt, go ahead and show him your bruises, because that's real. The fake, you will never come upon a piece of fake fruit that has bruises on it, will you? It's all the most beautiful red you ever seen. That's pride. That's pride. That's being somebody you're not. You're not an apple. You're a fake apple. You're shiny and you're polished, but you're fake. I want the bruised one. I'm willing to accept. And that's Jesus. He accepts us. And he said, and here's the thing. He was bruised. He was bruised. All of the blood that he received. Let's stand. And I want to pray for you, because we're bruised. We've been bruised. We've been hurt, haven't we? Father, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the cross. We thank you that you were wounded for our transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquities. We thank you that you were willing to take the nails in your hands, in your feet, the spear in your side, wear the crown of thorns upon your head. Father God, you did that for us. And by your bruises and by your wounds, ours are healed. Father God, my bruises will heal, because you took bruises on my behalf. Father God, I thank you. I could never thank you enough. Thank you seems so insufficient. It seems so shallow, but I thank you. Father God, I ask for everyone here who has any kind of hurt that they're carrying inside. Maybe they have a bruised heart. Father God, I'm asking for healing for the bruising of hearts today. Father God, I'm asking for the bruising when someone has come against their mind, Father God. Depression, anxiety, fears. And Father God, I ask, Father God, when the devil comes and he tells us, you just got to be perfect to go to heaven, or God's going to be waiting up there just to say, depart from me. No, he's not. No, he's not, Satan. No, he's not going to say depart. He's going to say, welcome, my good and faithful servant. Enter in. You just come on in, because I'm a good, good father. And I care for you. And I disciplined you all of your life, because I love you more than I love my own self, more than I love my own son. I love you. Father, we thank you for the healing, Father God, and we're just going to worship you. If you feel like you want to come to this altar and lay down the baggage of all the years, you can do it right now. You can say, I won't pick that up again. Fear, doubt, unbelief, anxiety. Father, in Jesus' name, we lay it at this altar today, Father God. We place it here, Father God, and we're not going to pick it up again. We have enough to carry this year. We're not going to pick that junk up again. Father, heal us in Jesus' name.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.